الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله ارسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، فبلغ الرساله وادى الامانه ونصح للأمة وجاهد في سبيله حتى أتاه يقين. I bear witness that there is no worthy of our worship except Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all humanity. اليوم إن شاء الله نكمل حديثنا الذي بدأناه في المرة الماضية عن كيفية الإجابة عن بعض الأسئلة التي تأتينا عن الإسلام والمسلمين بعد إرسال البافلت، والحمد لله جاءتنا ردود طيبة من الجالية في سان كاترينز ومن أماكن أخرى عن طريق الإيميل أو الاتصالات التليفونية، وبعض الناس بدأوا الزيارة. اليوم إن شاء الله نتكلم عن الأمور المشتركة بيننا وبين غير المسلمين وبعض الاختلافات الطفيفة، ونتكلم في عجالة عن كيفية الإجابة عن أسئلة عن السيدات أو معاملة النساء في الإسلام وعن الجهاد وعن الشريعة، لأن هذه هي أهم الأسئلة التي دائما تأتي وكثير من المسلمين لا يعرف كيف يجيب عنها. So as we said last time, الحمد لله we did phase one of the project. الحمد لله the pamphlet. We have been receiving a lot of positive feedback, maybe a couple of negative ones, but mostly positive feedback. People have been calling, sending emails. And at least 2-3 people visited the masjid because they received the pamphlet. So this is something positive, alhamdulillah. So last time we started talking about how to answer difficult questions about Islam. Because people, when they receive the pamphlet in their mailbox, so if you study with someone, you go to work with someone, you expect them to ask you questions. What is Sharia? What is Jihad? Why women are abused in Islam? What is this? What is that? So you should be able to answer questions in the right way, without debating or arguing with anyone. You just give the right answer, the clear, straightforward answer from Islam. But most of the time, we don't know how to give the right answer, or we give a wrong answer, and people blame it on Islam. So you have to be a good ambassador. You should have the basic knowledge of a religion. So inshallah, today we'll talk briefly about some of the common grounds that Muslims share with non-Muslims, and there are so many of them, and the few differences we have, and plus how to answer questions about Sharia, about Jihad, and about the treatment of women in Islam. Because every single time I go to a church or I give a talk to non-Muslims, these are the questions they come across: the violence in Islam, Sharia, and the abuse of women. So I should be able to answer these questions. To start with, as we said last time, that there are so many common grounds between Islam and non-Muslim faith. And we said that every religion has two sides, or two parts. Every religion stands on two feet. The first one is your relationship with God, ibadat. The second one is mu'amalat, interaction with people, or what they call global ethics, or universal values or ethics. So with regards to the second one, the global ethics, your relationship with the people, every single religion, whether it's God-given or man-made, they believe the same thing. So everybody believes you have to be honest, you have to be kind, you have to be sincere, you have to be generous. So if you ask a Muslim or a Hindu or an atheist or a Christian, anyone, they will give you the same answer. We have to be loving and caring and respectful and courteous and good to everybody. Everybody believes the same thing. But what makes a difference is the second part, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what we call theology, or aqidah, or ibadat, your connection or relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at the different faiths we have today, especially Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, there are three main differences. The difference on the perception of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perception of salvation, or al-najah fil akhirah, and the perception of the crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam, or the perception of Isa alayhi salam. So these three, and they always boil down to one point: the perception of Isa alayhi salam. So with regards to the perception of God, there are three perceptions. Especially when you look about Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. This is based on my understanding of the Quran and the Bible, because I studied both, and I studied comparative religion. So when you look at the Old Testament of the Jews, the Jewish people, you look at God, He is God, and the perception is very close to Islam, that there is something that makes it different. And that is, God, sometimes He does or has some qualities that look like human beings. So on the first page, when Allah created the heavens and the earth, according to the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, He got tired on the sixth day, and He had to take a day off to relax. Well, if you watch cartoons, Spider-Man doesn't get tired. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get tired? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this in the Quran in Surah Taf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ لُغُوبٍ وَالتَّعَبِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I have created the heavens and the earth with might in 6 days and have never been tired. Because I'm the Almighty. So this is the first perception. And also, if you flip a few pages after, when Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree, he ran away and he hid in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the Old Testament, He didn't know where Adam was. So He started to look for him and call his name, Adam, Adam, where are you? So these are human qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything and He has perfect power over all things. So this is the old belief. So in the New Testament, so the first one, you have a God that has some human qualities. Fast forward to the New Testament of the Christians, you have a human being who is given divine qualities, or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the person of Isa alayhi salam. And what they refer to is his miracles, mu'jizat. So he, like Musa and Muhammad and all these prophets, he did some miraculous things, like giving life to the dead, and giving cure to the leper and the sick people, and so on and so forth. And every prophet has a miracle. He was not the only one. Okay? If you look at the perception of Isa alayhi salam, of course, the perception of Allah in Islam, Allah is Allah, the people are the people. The creator cannot be like the creation. Two different things. So when you look at the perception of Isa alayhi salam, because this is what makes a difference, this is the biggest difference between Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And you have to know this. The perception is, Muslims say, he is a prophet. Christians say, well, he is God, he is the Son of God, they believe in the Trinity, and different people have different beliefs. Then other people, they say, well, he was not a prophet, he was not God, he's nobody. So, well, if there's a person, someone, like someone in the community, he's sitting with us in the room, and you have three people, one of them says that this brother is a doctor. The other person says, no, he is a teacher. And the third person says, no, he is a plumber. So who should you ask? If none of them know that person precisely, I think you should ask the person himself, who are you? And this is what people miss all the time. You need to ask Isa alayhi salam, oh, who are you? And the answer is given in the Quran, the answer is given in the Bible. Exactly what it says about Isa in the Bible is what exactly it says about him in the Quran. But the problem is, people don't know and they don't read. So what he says about himself in the Bible, I of myself cannot do anything. Whatever I do is to please Allah, not to please me. In the Quran, وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So this is what it means. With the help, with the permission of Allah, I cannot do anything without the permission and help of Allah. Same thing. When they ask him in the Bible, when is the day of judgment, the second coming? Sa'a, mata sa'a. He says, I don't know. The angel don't know. Only Allah knows. In the Quran, إِنَّكَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. It's the same thing. So he says, I don't know. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And the Quran says the same thing about him. He says about himself in the New Testament, in their book, that I came only to the Jews. I came only to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. That is my mission. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salam came to certain people, Musa came to certain people. Shu'aib, Saleh. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only one who said, I came to everybody. So this is the difference. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing about him in the Quran. وَرَسُولًا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, that he was sent as a Rasul to Bani Israel. But subhanAllah, although it is very clear what he said about himself in the book, people seem to get everything completely wrong about him. If he said, I'm only a prophet, a human being, no, he's God. I can't do anything by myself, no, he can't do everything. I don't know the right, the unseen, no, he knows everything. I came only to the Jews, no, he came for everybody. They got everything wrong about himself, even his birthday. He was born in the summer, they celebrate his birthday in the in December. Everything is wrong. All you need to do is go back and read what he said about himself. It is that simple. The perception or these beliefs classify people into three groups. Those who have the right key and the right door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Jannah, and there are Muslims, and the key is Muhammad Rasulullah. Those who have the right door but the wrong key, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not there in their belief system, so they have the right door, they are standing in front of the right door, but the wrong key. And those who follow the wrong door, and the key is wrong, so they cannot get inside. So if you want to make it there, you have to use the key. If you move to a new house, if you buy a new house, you usually change the lock. And the lock for this time is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before, Isa was the key. Before that, Musa was the key, and so on and so forth. Also, the concept of salvation in najat, falah fi dunya wa najat fi akhirah. So according to non-Muslim belief, salvation is based on your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't have to prove this with good deeds. Well, your book says you have to show faith and you have to be good. Yes, you are Muslim, but you have to pray. If you call yourself Muslim and you don't pray, if you call yourself Muslim and you are violent and abuse people, you are like a vegetarian who eats beef and chicken every day. So it's something completely different. So Muslim basically means someone who believes in Islam wholeheartedly, in belief and in practice. But if you do something else, this is not Islam. This is the total opposite of Islam. One time I gave a lecture to a Catholic seminary, and I spoke about the concept of najah in Islam. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Those who have faith in Allah and they improve their faith by doing good. If you are a Muslim, you have to be good. So this is what Islam means. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. So the teacher came to me and he said, but this is not true, because in our faith, the only thing required is to have faith only. But I said, you have to prove it by good deeds. This is what Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. He said, no, good deeds are not needed. So I told him, according to what you say, Mother Teresa, who is a Roman Catholic, and she is like a priest in Catholicism, will be with Hitler in Jannah together, who was also a Roman Catholic. Are you saying that both of them will be in the same place? Well, one of them was good and the other one was horrible. Are you saying they will be in the same place? So he thought for a moment and he said, no, they are not in the same place. So I said, yeah, exactly. You have to show your faith through good deeds. If you call yourself Muslim, you have to prove this through good deeds. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, As-sadaqatu burhan. Charity is a proof. A proof of what? Of your faith and your sincerity. You can say, I'm a Muslim all day long, but when it comes to sadaqah, no, you have to shoot me first to give sadaqah. This is the total opposite. So you have to show or prove your faith through good deeds. So salvation in Islam based on good deeds and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the original sin. There's no original sin, because the belief is when Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree, he was kicked out in Islam. فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So Adam alayhi salam prayed to Allah for forgiveness, and he was forgiven, and therefore there's no original sin. Every human being, every one of us is born pure and clean. You are not accountable for anybody's sins. أَلَّا تَزِرْ وَزِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. So if there is no original sin in Islam, خطيئة الأصلية, then There's no crucifixion or need for the crucifixion of Isa alayhi salam from a Muslim perspective. Why? Because according to their belief, he came and he was killed, so he will make up for our sins, the sin that was committed by Adam alayhi salam. And if there's no crucifixion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. He was not killed and he was not crucified. So if this is the case, there's no Easter. Because Easter, he died for 3 days, then he was raised from the dead. So there's no Easter. Too bad for the bunny and the eggs, because there's no Easter. Okay? Adam alayhi salam was forgiven, so there was no need for this whole thing. Plus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, and he is the forgiver. He could just forgive everybody. He doesn't have to take anybody's life for somebody else's sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-forgiving, and he is the all-merciful. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ma'alimana ma yinfa'una wa yinfa'una wa ma'alimana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah wa ta'alameen wa ashwa wa ta'ala wa Allah. وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله ربه رحمه للعالمين. If you get a question about men and women in Islam, so this is the answer given in the Quran, that Muslim women and men are equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and before the law and before Sharia, but they have differences. They are equal but different. In the same way that me and Brother Akhtar or Brother Saleh or any of the brothers here, we are equal. But we are different, we are not identical. In the same way, me and my wife, we are equal, but we are not identical. If you look at the Quran, I'll give you an example. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about good deeds like salah, so if I pray, and the sisters in the back pray, or my wife prays, do we get the same reward? Of course, yes. Men and women get the same reward for good deeds. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَبِالْآيَةِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. ده في الثواب. ولما يتكلم عن العقوبة، العقوبة واحدة للاثنين. الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما 100 جلدة والسارق والسارقة فاقطعوا. الثواب واحد والعقوبة واحدة. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the reward for good deeds, both men and women get exactly the same reward. And this is what Allah says in the Quran. Those who do good deeds, men or women, they get exactly the same reward in many places in the Quran. Also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the punishment in the Quran, both of them get the same punishment. So those who commit adultery or those who commit theft, they get the same punishment in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men and women equal but different. And if you ask psychologists, they say the same thing, that men and women are equal but different because they are different psychologically and physically. So if you haven't figured out when you go to the superstore why they have different restrooms for men and women, inshallah you will fail your biology class a big time. Because they have differences. And also, psychologically, men and women are different. Men tend to be more rational and women tend to be more emotional. I'm not saying women are crazy, but they have differences. This is what psychologists say. They have different emotions and different feelings, and they respond to the same thing, the same action differently. So they have different reactions to different things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them different to complete each other and not to compete with one another. In Islam, we honor women and they have the right to education, they have the right to own the property, to keep the last name when they get married, and so on and so forth. Although in Wilaya al-Uzma, the major wilaya or leadership in Islam is disagreed upon by scholars, still in Muslim countries, several Muslim women, at least in the last 10 years or so, have been elected president or prime minister in their countries. If we speak about Indonesia, if you speak about Pakistan, Bangladesh, Turkey, they elected women to the main office in the country. In North America, in the US, in the last 250 years, not a single woman has been elected president or prime minister. Not one. In Canada, in the last 150 years, not a single woman has been elected. I know Kim Campbell, 1993, she was never elected. Mr. Mulroney, the Prime Minister at the time, decided to retire. So the next one in line was Kim Campbell. She became Prime Minister without elections for a few months. They did elections and she lost a big time. So not a single woman has been elected Prime Minister or President in the history of North America in the last 250 years. Okay? So in Islam, we honor women, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a lot of rights that some of them are denied till this day. The right to education, the right of inheritance, are denied to some women in Muslim countries. Why? Because people don't follow Islam. Wallahi, if women follow Islam, not a single person, woman or man, will suffer. The next question is about jihad. Jihad basically means to exert an effort. If your country is under attack, you have to defend your country. Self-defense. And this is what the Quran speaks about all the time. So if Canada is attacked by the Russians, for example, so you don't expect us to take the Russians for a double-double at Tim Hortons. No, we have to defend our country. So Muslims, like everybody else, we have to go out, take up arms, and defend our country. Make jihad for Canada. Defend Canada from any outside attack. Self-defense. Any reasonable human being will say the same thing. Then jihad also applies to spiritual things. Like you make jihad against greed, bad desires that we have. So we make jihad against women abuse, against drugs, about child abuse. So all these negative things, when you attack them, when you campaign against them, this is the meaning of jihad in Islam. So it is not what people portray in the media to be. It's completely different. The last thing I want to say in just 2 minutes, inshallah, is Sharia. What is Sharia? Well, there are two different definitions. There's the Sharia or Islamic definition, and there's the Fox News definition. I did my PhD on Fox News. So Fox News definition is that Sharia is the law that chops people's heads off. This is Sharia according to the definition. Sharia, Islamically, linguistically means the way to do things. And technically, from a Shari'a perspective, Sharia means that the law that governs a Muslim's life in this dunya and akhirah. The law that governs economics, social status, behavior, interaction among people, the life in this dunya, and how it looks like in the next life, how to deal with your wife, marriage, divorce, inheritance, custody of the children, the relationship between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, war and peace. So this is included in Sharia. How to worship Allah, Salah, Zakah, Hajj, all this is called Sharia in Islam. And of course, yes, we have a law for punishment. If you do something wrong in Islam, just like anybody else, we don't give you candy, you'll be punished. So if you say that Sharia is the law, of course I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of rulings in Sharia. Okay, hundreds of thousands. And you can't just go to Amazon.com or to the bookstore to order a Sharia book. There's no such thing as called Sharia. Sharia is everything included in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, the opinions of the Sahaba, and the different scholars of Islam. So it is not included in one book. So to say that Sharia is the law that chops people's heads off is like saying that the American law and constitution is the law that kills people with the electric chair. It's the same thing. Yes, there is the concept of punishment if you do something wrong, but it governs everything in your life. So nobody should be afraid of the Sharia, because Sharia only applies, especially the punishments, apply to the criminals. If you rape a woman, this is the punishment you get. But if you are a good citizen, you didn't harm anybody, then you shouldn't be afraid, because this is not for you. It's for the other people. So Sharia is intended to make your life easy, to protect life, and to give people dignity. This is the meaning of Sharia. So this is the answer you can give, inshallah. Nasa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yu'allimana ma yinfa'una wa yinfa'ana ma'allamana wa an yahdi an-nasa ila as-sirat al-mustaqim wa an yatufa bi ikhwanina al-muslimin al-mustada'afina fi kulli makan. Allahumma ihfa bi ikhwanina al-muslimin al-maghmumin fi Syria, fi Iraq, fi Filistin, wa fi Misr, في كل مكان يظلم فيه المسلمون. اللهم لا تدع على ذنب الا غفرته، ولا هما الا فرجته، ولا مريضا الا شفيته، ولا مظلوما الا نصرته، ولا ظالما الا قصرته، ولا شاب ولا شابه من المسلمين الا بالحلال زوجته، ولا محروم من الاطفال الا بالاطفال قصرته. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. Bless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your sincerity. Bless us in this dunya and to give us Jannah the next life. Bless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give shifa to all Sikh Muslims and to forgive those who are dead and to give us the best in dunya and the best in akhirah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.